Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insights segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This is Veterans Day, a day when we honor the men and women who have served in the armed forces. But beyond the parades and the fanfare of the day, there are many serious issues that veterans struggle with. And tonight we're going to talk about life after military service, finding new beginnings. My guests are Tiffany Mansfield. She's a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. Brian Bailey, an Air Force veteran and author of the book, Buying My First Home as a Military Veteran. And Nicole King Campbell, an Air Force veteran and advocate for women veterans. Lines are open. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're certainly welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having us. Thank you.
So first, the first thing I want to ask is, why is it so difficult for some veterans to get on their feet when they're coming home from service? And let me just say, before you answer that question, I'm not talking about those veterans who are having issues with PTSD. I'm not talking about veterans who perhaps have no skills. I'm talking about veterans who are good to go, squared away, retiring or honorably discharging, who are saying to themselves, I'm out of the military, whether it's 4 years or 25 years or 30 years. What am I going to do next? And still some of them are trying to find their footing. Why is that so difficult, Nicole?
Well, one thing I've noticed is that even when people are highly productive at work, they're excellent people when they're in active duty, sometimes it's just hard for them to transition, like take care of themselves and advocate for themselves. They're not really used to doing that. They're used to advocating for others or leading others or managing others. But if they do not do the proper preparation, it is very hard for them to adjust if they didn't do any of that, go to TAP, get a civilian
TAP.
Sorry, the Transition Assistance Program. Mm-hmm. If they did not try to join civilian organizations before they left the military, if they don't have a civilian mentor, or if they're interested in things like forming their own business, they need like a mentor, a group that will help them do what they want to do in their business. So if you don't know anybody in the field you want to do, it's going to be really hard getting started.
But Brian, here's the thing. You know, the commercials have always said that the military prepares you for life even after the military. Is that not true?
Well, you know, I grew up with that commercial: Army, Navy, Air
Force
Marines.
Yeah.
We don't need experience, we give it.
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget about the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm. Right. Don't forget about the Coast Guard. So when I came in 1984, that's what I believed, and that's what I thought. That was my mindset. Get the experience, come out and do something with it. But what I really believe that one of the main problems are with the military veterans is when they are serving, they know that they're serving something bigger than themselves. I mean, that's the mindset. That's what they see. But when they get out, they don't realize that thing that's bigger than themselves is gone. So now they're stuck. They're lost. They don't know what to do. And my recommendation is for them to find something mm-hmm. that's bigger than them again, whether it's a volunteer effort working with an organization or a business or something, and that will get them back on key. And that's just, you know, one of the things I think that will help.
But, Tiffany, for you, how long have you been out of the Marine Corps?
I left the Marine Corps in 2008.
2008. So, what, that was 10 years ago? About 10 years ago. Was it difficult for you to get on your feet after first leave?
After, within a year before leaving the Marine Corps, I had set my sights. I wanted to make sure that I had skills that were transferable. And with that, I was doing inventory of all of the military training that I had. Took advantage of the opportunities that I had. I worked as a forensic photographer. So my area of expertise as a creative was photography, public affairs, digital media. I joined the National Association of Black Journalists right before exiting just to find out things that were going on. And I wanted to make sure when I got out, I wasn't 100% sure. It took me maybe 6 months before the end of my tour of service to confirm my decision. But I wanted to make sure that I had an opportunity to stay in the Marine Corps as an E6, an enlisted staff sergeant in the ranks, which was great with 7 years of service. I was on a great career trajectory. But once I got out, I wanted to put a resume together and see what my skill sets were. What kind of work could I do outside in the civilian world? And for me, it worked out to where I was able to double my active duty salary contracting. So it took a game plan and a solid exit strategy.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. On this Veterans Day, we are talking about finding new beginnings for veterans after military service. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call again at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jeremy calling from DC. Jeremy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, my father is a disabled vet from Vietnam. He's 100% disabled, landmine accident. He's great. Like, he's had the best care from the VA, had home assistance, building a home, and always had assistance from the VA. I was just wondering, has something in the VA changed, or was he just, like, grandfathered in, or, like, why aren't more veterans getting the same type of assistance my father is?
It probably depends on several factors. Like, some of the older vets just are done with the military and they don't go and file their VA claim and get their VA benefits. They may just not know. When I was at the Wounded Warrior Regiment at Quantico, like, I would get people calling in and saying they didn't even know that their parents served. They might have found, like, letters or documentation or medals, and that's how they found out that their parents served. So you have generations of people who have not gone and get their benefits. There's like a Facebook page, and when I first found out about the page, Veterans to Veterans, there was like 20,000.
What's the name of the page?
Veterans to Veterans.
Okay.
And they were like 20,000, which was a lot. But within that short period of time, she has grown that page to like 400,000 people that have needs. So I meet people all the time who go back and help their parents or their in-laws get benefits that they never went and got.
There's a huge gap for that. I'm from a family of service members, probably about six other veterans. None of them retired, and each one of us had a different experience getting out of the military. I have to say there have been changes in the VA with different administrations. I've seen changes within the last 10 years where I have more access to health care than I did. I even have increased quality of health care than I did when I first left the military.
Okay. Jeremy, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Now, Brian, you did 25 years in the Air Force?
Yes.
After you got out of the Air Force, did you retire? Did you discharge?
I retired after 25 years.
So you retired. Was it difficult for you to get on your feet? What did you do? You seem to be prosperous, successful. You seem to have it squared away.
One of the things that I knew that I had to do was make sure that what I did in the military 5 years out, maybe 6 or 7 years out, was aligned with what the market dictated in the civilian world.
What is that?
And what that means is, if you see what the trends are, like, one of the big buzzwords in the government and the civilian sector right now is like knowledge management. So if you're in the military, what can I do to learn more about knowledge management? One of the other things is continuing process improvement. So how can I find out how to accomplish what they call process improvement and bring that to the marketplace? So these are those keywords that were hot at the time, and I learned how to do that. And one of the other big things with Microsoft, you know, every employer wants someone who's competent in Microsoft Word, really Excel for database and spreadsheets, and PowerPoint. Those are really big, and I made sure that I was really good at that before I got out as well. So I prepared myself.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about finding new beginnings after military service. We have some advice for you as well as some resources. So if you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. Corinne, I believe that's Corinne calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to share about, as a veteran, I'm a veteran of the Air Force and the Army, and what even today what benefits me is sharing the information with others. So kind of everything that I learn about what's available to me resource-wise, saving money on your VA loans, everything. We are having a community of sharing that information with each other. So I think that's where the gap lies, is the fact that we're not talking to each other and making it available. I'm reaching back and speaking to friends who are getting out now. I got out in 2004, so I've got a lot of traction on translating what I do as a civilian, a contractor, an entrepreneur into things that my fellow soldiers can understand.
Corinne, thank you so much, and again, thank you for your service. Here's the thing that as a civilian that a lot of people probably are having difficulty understanding. If the military prepares you for getting in, shouldn't it prepare you for getting out?
That's interesting, because you have that mentality. You're always doing your service. So I see a lot of veterans who do not, when they have that time, like my husband, right? He was still going to meetings and still making appointments during his terminal leave. Mm-hmm. And I was like, these are things that you should have had done before if they would give you the time. But some people are in these jobs that is just going, and you feel, because you're part of the team, mm-hmm. that if you take the time to take care of stuff for yourself, you're taken away from the team.
We're conditioned to be selfless.
Yeah.
We're looking out for, in the military, you're a leader, mm-hmm. no matter what rank you are or where you serve. You have subordinates that work with you, and you consider yourself one team. Things have to get done, and there's so much stigma around prioritizing yourself when it comes to your own mental health, your own wellness, any traumas that you experience. Some of us come into the military with traumas. Some of that trauma is enhanced while we're in the military as a part of our experience. But these aren't things that I can say the military is efficient or as efficient as they can be for helping us.
They're mm-hmm. definitely not, because I tell people, like, when you go to the medical doctor when you're on active duty, you go to the doctor so you could go back to work. But once you get off of active duty, you go to the doctor to save your life. And that should not be the case, because, for example, when I switched from active to the reserves, certain medical conditions, if you were in the reservist, it could make you go to a medical evaluation board, mm-hmm. which you didn't want to do. Or as a reservist, you don't want to go no points, no pay, and have a bad year, which will affect your retirement. So you just press on, even though you might really be hurting yourself, or it's something that's going to be harder to document. And that is such a big mm-hmm. deal. Like, people think this little injury is one thing, but actually it adds to four different industries. But because you're not taking that time to get that seen for, get that documented, it's, and there's other things. Like, my husband had to turn in like 700 pages of records, and then I talked to the VA. It was on a disc, so he had to print it so that he could deliver it to an office so that they can mail it to another office. Where's the
bureaucracy?
So without getting too deep into the weeds, when did your husband retire?
The 31st of October.
Okay, so all right. So what? Two weeks
yes.
ago. He's still looking. Is
he
that
sure
right?
Is.
Yeah, well, 2 weeks. I mean, come on. Even those of us who may be connected, and doesn't there have to be a bit of patience with that?
Looking for a job is a full time job.
Exactly. Whether you are a veteran or a civilian.
Exactly.
And 2 weeks. I mean, I know he wants to hit the ground running. But is that an expectation that's too high?
Well,
if he had time to prepare beforehand, it would be ideal if you had 1 year to prepare for medical evaluations, mm-hmm. for just trying to figure out what your resume should look like. Mm-hmm. It takes a year. But a lot of times we don't get opportunities to do that because of the op tempo, mm-hmm. operations tempo, the workflow that going on. And you're still committed to that. It's really difficult for leadership to
switch that off,
to turn that off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I would imagine that most people, and I've known people who have spent many years in the military, when they retire, the first thing a lot of them want to do before they look for a job is put their feet up.
Not many.
We got two daughters.
Well, then there's that. The truth comes out.
But the thing is, if you're always working, it is weird to not be working.
Yeah. Right.
And when I met him, he was marching all over the place because he was doing several things. And for him not to, even though he's still doing stuff because he does his space camp, it's different from him not, like, we had a little smoky fire in our house and he was going to go to work first. And I was like, let's work on the house. So that's his, hardworking ethic. That is challenging to mm-hmm. just turn that off to take care of yourself.
Because it's ingrained in us.
Yeah, and so did you feel the same way once you retired?
Well, I still feel that way.
Really? Okay.
Because it is ingrained into us to, accomplish the mission. Mm-hmm. That's what we wake up mm-hmm. thinking what we need to do. I mean,
it really changes your DNA.
It really does. Because that's our day-to-day way of thinking.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about life after military service, finding new beginnings. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Bernard in Upper Marlboro, Terry in Virginia, Hope also in Virginia. So please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. So please stay with us. And if you're having difficulty getting through, keep trying. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about life after military service on this Veterans Day. We're talking about finding new beginnings, whether it's employment, housing, or some of the other resources that our honored military veterans need once they leave the service. My guests are Tiffany Mansfield. She's a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps. Brian Bailey, he's an Air Force veteran and author of the book, Buying My First Home as a Military Veteran. And Nicole King Campbell. She is an Air Force veteran and an advocate for women's veterans. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Hope, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Hope. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. Thank you for accepting my call.
Sure.
And happy Veterans Day to everyone. I just want to speak about the homeless epidemic, the homelessness epidemic that can occur to just about anyone. And I want to encourage veterans out there who may be facing that, which is something that I face. Myself, I was successful in my career for over 6 years, and I was a successful business owner and found myself on hard times. And I just want to encourage anyone out there to make the call, even though there's times when it feels like the VA turns their back on us, because I have been struggling to get my claims pushed through. However, I was very fortunate in that I was able to participate in a HUD-VASH program. And so it's a Section 8 voucher-based program for veterans, and there are funds available. And a way that that anyone who needs help can reach out is to call the 800 number, which is 877-4-AID-VET. And so I'll say the number out. It's 877-424-3838. And that's just me sharing my testimony for the very first time. And I wanted to do it in a public forum because there's nothing to be ashamed of. And I know there's somebody who needs to hear that.
Well, Hope, thank you so much. Brian, you want to speak on that, particularly as it relates to housing, because she was speaking about HUD, you know, housing and urban development, and that you wrote your book about buying your first home as a veteran. Hope, thank you so much.
Is it a way to get Hope's contact information?
We can. As a matter of fact, we can have our producer grab her information, and we'll be able to pass that on if she could do that. But
perfect.
Please go right
perfect.
Ahead, Brian.
I definitely want to make sure we get Hope's contact information, because Hope, that is a growing, alarming trend right now with women veterans that are homeless. There, I really do believe there's not enough help out there with helping this problem, especially women with kids. And it's something where, you know, the facilities aren't there. There need to be more money raised and some other things done in the community. So I'd like to definitely get involved more on that to help. But that is a problem that we currently have. Homelessness veterans as a whole, but women, you're seeing women and kids on the street. That's not a good look at all. So thanks for bringing that up, Hope.
Talk to me, Brian, a little bit about buying your first home and also more broadly about the GI Bill. There was a lot of historical discussion about the GI Bill after World War II. But talk to me about the modern resources for veterans when they leave the service.
We'll talk about the GI Bill, but the VA loan is something that when I became a realtor, I noticed that there's a lot of veterans who do not know about the VA loan. I've talked to veterans that 60 years old and like, oh, I never knew. You mean I can buy a home really no money down? And it's because there's not enough maybe agencies or organizations that's going to the veterans. It's always been the veteran that has to go search. And that was the reason why I wrote the book, because I had to search for that data. And it just needs to be more information out there. The GI Bill right now after 9/11, that's been a blessing to so many people, because I know people that actually retired and now they're going to school full time off of that GI Bill. And they're getting, I believe, BAH now.
Yes,
with
you
the
do receive a housing stipend.
What is that?
A housing stipend. So tax you'll free. Get a set amount of money based on your geographical location that will give you money to pay towards housing and books, as well as your tuition coverage. Now, that varies, though, with what university you go to. Because of my work tempo, I didn't take advantage
work
of...
Work tempo?
Because of the... busyness at work while active duty, I didn't prioritize education. So active duty service members are offered tuition assistance, and that program gives you a discounted tuition rate. For me, I took classes here and there, but for the most part, I finished my undergraduate degree after leaving active duty service. The GI Bill, depending on what university you go to, may cover the totality of your school or may not. You still will end up with student loans depending on where you choose to study.
I will actually give you some additional resources. Last year I attended a meeting with the College Board, and they were trying to get veterans to attend some of the Ivy League schools. There are like a lot of programs available. I definitely took part of tuition assistance, but when I first got in, I had a boss who was like, oh, you have plenty of time. But as a woman, when I was pregnant, my husband could go and take a final, but I was probably in the hospital. You know, so those things about when people tell you about your time, you have to check that, because I would have definitely started earlier with utilizing tuition assistance when some of the rates were lower. But through the TA, I was able to take classes at Harvard. I have two masters with good Air Force money. Two masters with good Air Force money. But I also took some additional classes when I took a leave of absence from my civilian job, and I used my BAH when we were stationed in New Mexico.
So I think this is so important and why we are having this conversation, because just between, you know, among the three of you, there are so many resources out there. Where can veterans or those about to become veterans get this information? Because it seems to me that the information is there, but sometimes they don't even know what questions to ask.
That is true. So I printed out something before I left the house, and there's a VA handout. It's 74 pages, so I guess it's not really a
74
pages, and it lists a bunch of numbers from anything from e-benefits, educational benefits. The thing is, you need an advocate, and there are plenty of advocates out there. But you can't have somebody who has not had the educational level that you're trying to attain necessarily advise you, because they may not be able to see past what you want to do. So you need to find an advocate. I can't stress, get a mentor who's in that career field. There's several that I could think of. One of my friends, she's getting mentored by Damon Johns. She has her own sauce company.
But let me stop you there, because everybody wants to be mentored by Damon Johns. So my question is, how do you find an advocate that is specifically knowledgeable about what you want to do?
Some are on the base. There's things called the VWISE program, where women veterans could go to Syracuse and go through those programs. USC in California, you could do it online. They have a master's degree program for veterans. There are women veteran retreats. This weekend, I believe that Ginger Miller had her women veteran interactive. Mm-hmm. She's a veteran advocate. There's Jazz Booth, who's a huge veteran advocate.
Here's my question, because you can throw out names and a lot of people are, okay, Ginger Miller had who? What I'm trying to get you to share with our listeners is, if I don't know where to go,
one of the things that was beneficial for me was joining professional networks. As a Marine, we have the Women Marines Association, and it's a national organization. I found a chapter that was close to me. I found senior enlisted military members who had recently retired, some still active duty. And when I had questions, if they didn't have the answer, they could point me to someone who had one, someone else who can point me to where I can find the information, whether it was through Veterans Affairs, whether it was through working through an advocacy group, because the VA offers a lot of things to us, but without an advocate, without someone who knows the ins and outs, there's no way you can reach that.
And it seems to be just like in any other federal government agency, navigating red tape is difficult to virtually impossible. You know, now how did you do that, Brian, when you got out? I mean, you spoke about some of the skills that you were attaining or acquiring when you were in the military, but when you got out, were you able to immediately figure out what you wanted to do? Did you have a plan?
I knew I wanted to do something to give back. It was a little different for me. After serving, I just really realized that whatever I did, I had to do something to give back to my fellow veterans. It was a little different mindset, I know, but I knew it had to be something. What area? I was talking about that earlier tonight, whether it was going to be fitness, real estate, investments. It had to be something. So I knew there was a need, and my job was to fill it, and unfortunately, it ended up being in the real estate market. But one thing I wanted to talk about, that discussion we just had, there are some other resources, and you just have to go searching for them. I mean, Google is out there. Ask Jeeves is gone, but Google is there. They can go in there and type. You can type anything into Google and find whatever you need. One of the good resources I think that's underused is meetup.com. Mm-hmm. You can go on the Meetup, mm-hmm. and you can look and see what kind of meetups in your area. They have meetups for everything. And, mm-hmm. and Meetup is really developed by one person saying, hey, there's something out there I need to talk about, and I'm sure there's other people out there too. And they go to Meetup, and next thing you know, they're going to a meetup for free, and they're getting some great resources.
But when you retired, you, like you said, you wanted to volunteer and you wanted to give back. That assumes that you had a roof over your head and a way to feed yourself and a way to take care of yourself so that you could use that other time to give back. Right. That's my question, because I think for a lot of veterans, as much as they want to give back to the extension of the team, as I said, if you can't find a place to live, if you don't have a job, volunteering is not going to be high on your priority list.
Right.
So you had a place. Exactly. How did you have a place to go when you retired, aside from the fact that, yeah, you retired, you're going to get a check. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, what was the foundation of that for you?
Well, you're afraid. I mean, everyone here at the table can admit to that. When it's time to get out, you're scared. Mm-hmm. And fear makes you do things. You know, fear gets you out there networking, going to different events, shaking hands, talking to people, giving out your resume, finding out what it is that you do and sharing what you do, how you can help them. And it's a full-time job.
The only way I got through my active duty career was finding a tribe, finding a community mm-hmm, of
exactly.
people. I was far from my family for the 8 years that I served. I had to find a church community. I had to find people, mentors, reach out to people who I could trust and ask questions to and guide me along. The same thing applied when it was time for me to exit the military. I had to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Who's done this before? Who can point me to how to do this? What should I be looking for while I'm doing it?
And it's challenging, because if you had people telling you you could only do so much, mm-hmm. then when you go out, you have to do so much and then some to advocate for yourself. So it is very hard if you weren't out there doing that kind of preparation beforehand for you to advocate for yourself, because half of the thing is just asking for help. You know, I've been really lucky, because I was like, none of these people on this list is helping me. Mm-hmm. Let me blast out to find out. There's somebody who has, I've learned one thing when I got off of active duty. I talked to somebody at the Office of Personnel Management, and he told me two things, actually. He said, why all the Air Force people just go back to the Air Force instead of looking at the 150 different organizations? So that opened my mind to, yeah, let me look at something different. And number two, you know, people don't necessarily care that you served when you're looking for a job. They care that, are you going to be a good team member? If you know, so you have to put some of that other stuff behind and be part of that team. But if you don't advocate and maybe go back, and I tell my friends all the time, go back and look at your personnel records and your awards. Know that you have done something, because this you almost could get PTSD from the rejection and the no's.
It's hard.
You know, so it's really important for you to go back to your record and know that you may have done something really amazing, and take that strength to go out and advocate for yourself. But there's definitely people who will drop what they're doing and help you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be ready. You can't have that person take time away from somebody else and you not be ready to step up when they're like, hey, I have this opportunity for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You just like when you were in the military, mm-hmm. because when the opportunity, you know, comes, or situational opportunities come where you have to drop everything and then your eyes need to be turned toward overseas, it is not right now, but 5 minutes ago, mm-hmm. when you need to be ready. I think that's an excellent point. Let me go back to the phone lines. Bernard calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for holding on, Bernard. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd just like to say, anything that you all were talking about, you know, some of the things you're speaking of, I want to mention, but you all have. But one thing that has to really mention is the combat infantry soldiers that come back home. Some of those guys don't even have a high school diploma. They, you know, they have a hard time adjusting to life. I am what you call the Vietnam Special Weapons Assault Team Leader, what y'all call SWAT now. And what I suggest to a lot of fellows when they get back, try to join up with the Military Purple Heart, the DAV, Disabled American Veterans, or the Veterans Farm or some organization to help you transition back into what. Because you don't even know what you need.
Yeah. Bernard, thank you so much for your comment. Go right ahead.
My father, I'm second generation Marine Corps. My father was an infantryman. He left service after one enlistment. He did 4 years and extended that. He didn't have any mentors, anyone to go to. His experience when he left with infantry as a background, he tried to do police work and had some experiences with racism. And that propelled him into entrepreneurship. He's now a private investigator. He's made a career out of security. So his diligence is a part of my legacy where I knew I couldn't fail. Mm-hmm. Separating from service, mm-hmm. single, without a family, I knew I had to find a career and be smart about my choices.
Mm-hmm. And I think that Bernard made a really interesting point is that there are many service members, particularly in the Marine Corps and the Army that are in infantry. They are, combat military, personnel, and as opposed to those that may have specific skills such as, airplane engine repair, mechanics, and the other kind of support jobs that have skills that translate much more easily,
And there's a big, huge difference. Like, I think in 2007, 2008, when they started the Wounded Warrior programs, like the Marine Corps, maybe I'm biased because I did work for that program. That's one of the programs where they actually help you when you transition, because mm-hmm. people don't realize it's two different pots of money. You have your active duty money and you have your VA veterans money. So it was very interesting. Sometimes when we had benefit activities or stuff that we could give out, we had to walk that fine line of, is this for active duty personnel? Because it depends on your rank and your illness, what help you need. Now we have programs like the intern program. So 180 days from departing the military, you could actually work at a job. The benefit for the corporation or the business owner is that the military is still paying the medical and salary of the person. But the challenge is you have supervisors who don't understand the program, so they won't let their people go so that they could participate. But mm-hmm. programs like that allow people to transition so much better, so much more seamlessly. But we didn't have all of that for our Vietnam veterans. We had one guy who went to a horse therapy program. And when he finished going through the 4 weeks, his wife said, this is the person I married 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So there's still wow. veterans that are going through whatever happened to them in the Vietnam War. So that's part of the challenge. Mm-hmm. We didn't do as good a job for them as we're trying to do now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Terry, calling from Virginia. Thanks for hanging on. Terry, what's on
hi.
Your mind? Yes, hi.
Good evening. First, thank you all for your service. I, as a fellow vet, I can definitely appreciate your service time. I'm a 14-year vet of the Air Force and the Navy, and I took an early out in 1992. I'm 63 now, and I've asked this question of many different agencies, and no one's been able to answer this question for me. Is there a way, possibility, of me completing the remaining 6 years to accomplish my 20 to be able to be eligible for retirement? My second question is there possible to get names or phone numbers of agencies that might provide pro bono legal advice? I don't need legal representation, but I have legal questions, and right now I'm unemployed. I'm on a Social Security, so I'm on a fixed income, and I've been reaching out to different organizations, AARP and other organizations that are supposed to be there for my benefit, and they have not been able to provide any assistance for me. Mm. And then one final thing I do want to say, and I think this is extremely important, this year I was hit with medical charges from the VA because I had made too much the previous year, and it was for medication. And the reason I think this is so important is because I got my medication from the VA, and even when they issued medication to me that I did not need, their response to me was discarded. I'm paying back $2,500 in medical expenses for medication. I had surgery.
Terry, let me stop you there because I'm a little low on time. I have two things. First of all, when we finish talking to you on air, we'll have my producer get your information so that she can pass it on to Nicole King Campbell. In the interim, can you, Nicole, please, if you can share briefly your thoughts about her questions, because there were several of them.
I definitely don't know about going back and serving, but I do know I had one person in my women's group who, I guess, went into the military when she was 48 and just did her retirement. So they might be something. I have no idea, but I will ask someone. The medical billing thing, I definitely would need to get your contact information, because I would pass that on to somebody else to talk to you about that, because I'm not sure if it's rather you made too much, but sometimes Medicare does some really weird things with the VA and the hospital. So I just had a coworker who her father-in-law was on getting calls from the creditors and stuff like that, and we made a couple calls and they fixed that problem. So it might be a VA, Medicare, or Social Security type issue. So yes, we definitely need your contact information, because that's the only way we could probably point you in the right direction.
Okay, Terry, please hang
Thank
on.
Thank you for your service.
We can get her information, and we'll certainly pass that on. Before I go back to the phones, I do have I want to get some more information out there, Brian, about the success that you've had as a veteran buying a home, because again, home ownership, civilian or veteran, remains, you know, the best way to pass on generational wealth and to provide a sense of security. But I would imagine that for veterans, VA loan notwithstanding, that this is a critical piece. Talk to me briefly about that, if you can, and what you wrote in your book about that.
Right. I'll tell you the story behind it is because I had, when it was time for me to buy a home, I had to go through the process, and there really wasn't anybody there to walk me through, to hold my hand. And I had to go out there and dig. I had to go out there and Google. Well, Google wasn't even around. It was Axe Jeeves. It was literally Axe Jeeves. I had to figure out how to buy a home as a veteran. How does the VA loan work? And then trusting some people that you really didn't know. But now there are ways that you can find out more about it, but it still is a process. So as we walk them through the process, understanding the VA loan, understand the terminology that's in there, understand the interest rates, how it works, understand credit. There's veterans who think that, hey, because I'm getting a VA loan, credit doesn't matter. Yes, credit does matter. So we do talk about credit restoration and education. But there's so many things that the veteran needs to know when it comes to buying a home, and, it's just the fact that there's not a lot of veterans that are still using the VA loan because they don't understand it. They know about FHA, they know about conventional, but the VA loan is still one that needs more education.
Information.
And people need to understand that their benefit, because I know yes. There's a different experience when we were rushing from base to base trying to buy a home, and they were like, oh, we don't want to use the VA loan because it takes too much time, mm-hmm. versus now when we were just looking at houses and somebody was like, oh, I love the VA loan, mm-hmm. you know, so it's understanding, or if they had used it previously, they don't understand that in certain instances, you could actually use your VA loan twice. You have a one-time mm-hmm. grace period with that, or if you paid off the house, you could reuse the benefit. But people, your mindset is different when you're on active duty and using your benefits than when you're off mm-hmm. active duty and you're trying to buy your forever home.
But you know what the surprising fact is? I can talk to people on active duty, and guess what? And I think you understand this, so you'll probably be surprised. If you're on active duty, you're still a veteran. Mm-hmm. You don't have people mm-hmm. think that I have to be retired.
Or
I have
dead.
To be out of
yeah.
the military or dead to be classified as
yeah,
a veteran.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you start serving, you
you're
are a veteran and you are available to get those benefits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even in the Guard, you have to serve a certain amount of time, 6 years. But once you complete that, you're able to get your veteran benefits.
Jackson, calling from Virginia. Jackson, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Thanks to all the veterans out there. I'm a retired vet, 06, retired Air Force, and just listening to what you guys are talking about, I guess I was one of the fortunate ones. I used my VA loan four times. And one thing I found recently, since I've been retired, is some of the realtors out there don't necessarily like to get military because of the VA loan and the difficulties that they've had pushing that through. It's a little bit more difficult, but the VA is pretty stringent on what they let you buy. They make sure they look out for you, and I've had that go down for me very well. But when I got out, I took about a month and a half off, and then I got a job. But it's kind of like walking into what I was doing when I was flying in the Air Force. So I think I was fortunate, and my family was very fortunate to, you know, as I got out into the civilian world. That was my hardest part, was dealing with the civilians in the workplace, in my work that I've heard you all talk about. That's what I had to say. Thank you,
Jackson, and thank you so much for your service. I only have a minute or two left. Some final thoughts from each of you, Brian, about transitioning from active duty to life after the military.
I just really believe they need to have a positive mindset. That mentality thing is really needs to be at a real high level, because if you believe that you're going to have something happen, it will. I'm big on belief. I'm big on visualization, seeing things through. And if you really believe that and really start walking in that faith, you know, and network and get right people in your corner and create your circle and create your tribe, some great things can happen. And mm-hmm. just give it time.
Nicole?
You definitely, I always tell people used to laugh at me when I got into the military, and I said it's like a hustle, because I've told you this before, you know, you get your Section 8, which is your BAH, you get your BAS, which is your food, and you get your paycheck once a month.
And your alphabet soup.
your food money, which is the basic substance. But the thing is, that same hustle that got you through the military training, through your career, you need to apply that to your next step in life, because you have the skills. You might need to get more skills or more experience, but you have what it takes to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Tiffany?
Prioritize yourself. Prioritize your wellness. Mm-hmm. Identify what skill sets are transferable to build your resume, and keep a tight-knit community around you.
I think that's a great way to end this conversation. Tiffany Mansfield, Brian Bailey, and Nicole King Campbell, thank you all for spending some time with us. And, of course, thank you so much for your service. And we certainly honor you on this Veterans Day.
And thank your family for your service.
Thank you so much. I wouldn't be here without them. That is the Daily Drum on this Monday, November 11th, on this Veterans Day. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.